the sanctuary restored. Forward. The following letter was received from a reader of the preliminary edition of the Sanctuary Restored. It is here used by permission of the writer. Dear Elder Jarns, it was a thrill and blessing to read your new book, The Sanctuary Restored. The name is most fitting, for as one studies this book, his love and understanding of the great sanctuary message upon which our Advent movement is based is strengthened in heart and mind. Somehow the light of this great truth has flickered and grown very dim in our denominational emphasis in the last few years. It used to be the main theme of our early pioneers. Men like Edson, Crozier, White, Haskell, Wagoner, Jones, Gilbert, and Andreasen expounded on this mighty truth in their writings, causing our people to be firmly grounded. What a pity that in the last few years none of our ministers have written books on the sanctuary doctrine. Except for the Spirit of Prophecy volumes, one is hard put to find any books among our publications giving a deep study into this truth. Praise God that He has impressed you to write on this important subject and has given you the understanding to grapple with the reality of what God is longing to show us in this most symbolic and meaningful service. In the past, the sanctuary and its services, while very interesting, have had little impact upon the experience of the Christian. It is my prayer that the Holy Spirit will bless the message of this book that truly, the sanctuary shall be restored to its rightful state and placed in the thinking of God's people. In our early Advent movement, the great truths that made us a people developed through open discussion, with strong differences of opinion manifested between brethren. But although there were differences, these brethren honored each other as sincere Christians. As they continued studying, God would reveal the full truth to them and confirm it by the Spirit of Prophecy. Thank God, the men who had taken incorrect positions on certain points were humble enough to admit their mistakes and change their views. Might that same spirit of love and inquiry for the full truth prevail today? In this book you have taken issue with some of your brethren on certain points of doctrine. While doing this, you have not tried to cast aspersion on them nor have you questioned their sincerity as fellow Christians. These brethren have written out their convictions as you have yours. May God humble hearts that all might willingly investigate these positions, comparing them to the law and the testimony. Then, regardless of what our views may have been, we can confidently accept the correct interpretation as the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. The following quotation is most appropriate. In bringing out points upon which there may be a difference of opinion, the grace of Christ should be manifested by those who are seeking for an understanding of the Word of God. There should be liberty given for a frank investigation of truth, that each may know for himself what is the truth. Precious light is to shine forth from the Word of God, and let no one presume to dictate what shall or what shall not be brought before the people in the messages of enlightenment that he shall send, and so quench the Spirit of God. Whatever may be his position of authority, no one has a right to shut away the light from the people. It is of great concern to me that so few of our people really understand our doctrine of the sanctuary and its surrounding truths, including the scapegoat transaction. This is one of our teachings upon which other groups most often attack us. How many of our people, or even our ministers, could give a clear exposition of this truth? Our people must be encouraged and stimulated to study these great themes and learn how to explain them. If God has ever spoken by me, the time will come when we shall be brought before councils and before thousands for his name's salve, and each one will have to give the reasons of his faith. Then will come the severest criticism upon every position that has been taken for the truth. We need, then, to study the Word of God that we may know why we believe the doctrine we advocate. It is my prayer that God will impress our leading brethren and church members everywhere to study the message of this book and give it wide circulation. If there are points of interpretation which they feel are incorrect, these should be discussed openly and fairly. And all of us should be willing to correct our teachings if they are proven wrong according to the Word of God. I must testify that, as I have read this book, Jesus has been lifted up, and I have caught a more complete view of His work for us in the most holy place. My faith in Him, and what He can do in us, as promised, has grown more steadfast than ever. Moreover, this book has strengthened my confidence in the Advent movement and the immovable platform of the third angel's message and has given me renewed determination to give this precious message to every kindred and nation. It has caused me to more earnestly desire unity in Christ with our brethren, but has brought me to the realization that we can have true unity only when we all gather by faith at the sanctuary seeking total unity with Christ in the most holy place, following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. It is my prayer that all those who study this book will gain a new vision of this foundation and central pillar of our Seventh-day Adventist faith. Lon Cummings, Pastor Evangelist, Canada.